It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And I mentioned before the break that I wanted to talk for a moment about the UN climate change report that came out this past week. It's actually from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And it talks about things that it now feels, it's its annual update, that it now feels will happen to the world's climate on the current trajectory we're on. And again, I pass this information on from the point of view of information and informing and discussion, not from the point of view of my necessarily having an opinion, because I don't think that's right for me to do. I think what's more important is to share the different sides of this. And there certainly are different sides. But the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that 30 years from now, the 100-year flood events that are occurring around the world will actually become annual events by 2050 in much of the world. So some of us may be around to see that. And if we do, we actually will have the opportunity to find out if much of this climate science is correct. They are now saying within 30 years, the 100-year flood events that are occurring will now become annual flood events across much of the continent. They also, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has upped the rate of sea level rise to say that by 2200, so 80 years from now, the oceans will have risen by 10 feet. So in the next 80 years, the oceans are going to rise by 10 feet. That is a considerable increase in sea level rise over what had previously been reported. And that the warming oceans are going to absolutely wreck fisheries of the world. And so, excuse me, I made a mistake when I said this. They expect that, I got that wrong, they expect that by 2200, so 180 years from now, the oceans will have risen by 10 feet. And they expect that by 2100, 80 years from now, sea levels will have risen by 3 feet. So let me stand corrected on that. The report from the International Governmental Panel on Climate Change says a 3-foot sea level rise in the next 80 years and a 10-foot sea level rise in 180 years. Either way, that's, if they're right, that changes the world. Warming oceans are going to change fish species. If we think about the species that are really dependent on cold water, we think about cod, we think about salmon, we think about halibut. These cold water species could well go extinct, according to this panel's report. In fact, they expect that they might go extinct. Also, the report says that our oceans are going to become more acidic, will have less oxygen as they warm up, and as warm water holds less oxygen, they're going to be able to support less marine life. They predict the death of coral reefs around the world, occurring in the lifetime of let's say many people who are young today, and they basically have said the world before our eyes will not be what it is within the next 80 to 100 years. So it's the most dire projection yet from the UN panel on climate change, and I make mention of it whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it. That's not the issue. The issue is that very respected people, much as I was talking about with ornithologists who talk about the loss of 3 billion birds, highly respected scientists are raising the alarm and saying that if we don't do something, this is what we predict is going to happen. Whether they're right or not, time is going to tell. But I would offer this morning that we should pay attention to what they're saying, and that, as I said, for a long time, the things that we're doing in the world that are not healthy for our environment, we should find a way to stop doing them. And if we do that, we can mitigate some of the man-made things that are occurring with air pollution and water pollution. And whether all of that is leading to climate change or not is a debate that's far beyond any education or knowledge I have, but it is claiming the world's attention. You cannot turn on the news without hearing about climate change and seeing the prediction. So I think the debate is real, and I think we have to pay attention to it. And I would just offer that as a society, which I said for a long time, we should do the things that don't damage the future quality of life for those who are going to succeed us. And we have the ability to do lots of things here in America and to improve our quality of life. Just look at how much we've improved air quality over the past 40 years. Look at how much we've improved water quality. We did these things because we thought they were the right thing to do for our quality of life, because we didn't like seeing our rivers burning on fire, and we didn't like not being able to see the mountains, or in the case of even the city of Chicago, being able to see the skyline, or L.A. because of the smog. We did those things because we believed it would make our quality of life better. We didn't do those things because we thought the world's climate was changing. We knew nothing about it. We did them because it made a better quality of life. And I would offer that this whole climate change debate could better be framed in, what about our quality of life? That's why we've made these enormous progresses we have over the past 40 and 50 years with the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act and all the things that have taken place. That would maybe be a better way to frame this. And while predictions may come true, we're living now, and we should live in the best environment in which we can. But certainly, this has been a week of really alarming news, if you will, coming from the UN and coming from ornithologists, and we ought to pay attention to it. Thanks so much for listening this morning. Hope you've enjoyed the Great Outdoors show. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors and maybe a little bit of a discussion on what I hope is an incredibly special time spent fishing in an incredibly special place. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week in the Great Outdoors. This is Charlie Potter.
Every game, it's all on the line. Personal, one-on-one, head-to-head. You have to look for every advantage. Strength, speed, and power to win.
Dan Hampton knows when you're looking for a tough competitor, Chevy Silverado has every advantage. Silverado's Ecotec 3 V8 gets better mileage than Ford's F-150 EcoBoost V6. You heard it here. Plus, Silverado's trailering package delivers 12,500 pounds of towing capacity that guarantees hauling muscle. More power, better performance. That's the kind of advantage that wins games. And there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy than you ever imagined for less money. Your Chevy dealer knows what it takes to be a winner.
Take it from number 99. Chevy Silverado is an all-star. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Kick off the season right. Go for it.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And before I go to Alaska and the Pebble Mine, I want to spend just a moment talking about what seems like the endless Noah's Ark year. I have just driven through the western part of Iowa and Missouri, and it is underwater. The Missouri River is out of its banks. I crossed the Mississippi. It's nearly out of its banks. This is the beginning of October, the time of the year when our rivers are supposed to be at their lowest. If you ever want to float the Mississippi River or the Missouri in a canoe, you do it in the fall. If you did it this year, you wouldn't be doing it. You'd probably be dead. We are seeing in Illinois, we had that massive storm last week. The duck season in Illinois opens in the northern zone, which means the northern part of the Illinois River, here in 2 weeks. And it's underwater from the beginning of the Illinois all the way down through Peoria, further south. Everything is flooded. We are entering the year with conditions of almost no food having been able to plant it across much of the river bottoms of the Midwest. And now we've inundated them with floodwaters. It'll be interesting to see what happens, whether it's waterfowl or migratory birds of all kind. This is going to be a very different fall because of the extremely wet, very, very wet conditions we've had all growing season, and now once again we're back into flooding. And while I'm not in the Department of Agriculture, I can only offer from the traveling I've done this summer and fall that any notion that we have anything close to the number of acres growing in agricultural crops that we usually do is a fallacy. and the yields, I know in talking to places I travel to, the yields are way down. So for birds, the bounty that's awaited them for many years, they fly south in the river bottoms of the Missouri, the Illinois, the Mississippi, the Kankakee, you name them, the Wabash, White River, Cache River, all the way down through the Mississippi Delta, the Yazoo and the Sunflower. This whole complex is a year in which there's really no food. Switching to a place where there's a lot of food, Bristol Bay, the greatest estuary, really the greatest, the world's single richest fishery left. The Columbia Basin's pretty much gone, unfortunately. It was the world's richest fishery. Bristol Bay, the world's richest fishery. We've talked a number of times about the Pebble Mine, which is this ill-conceived mine at the headwaters of the Nisshagak River in Alaska, in southeast Alaska. Excuse me, not southeast Alaska, but out in Bristol Bay, west of King Salmon and out in Dillingham area, which could potentially, if something happened, poison a great amount of the greatest estuary in the world through arsenic. It's been highly controversial, and politicians in Alaska have been dancing around it for quite a while. There is an army, literally, of sportsmen and people who care about our environment who were opposed to the Bristol Mine. And this week, the big news this week, is that Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who is a moderate voice, a strong conservationist, a person of reason, has come out and said the Pebble Mine cannot be built if it will endanger the natural resources of Alaska. It's the first time a significant public official has taken a stand on the Pebble Mine. And as Lisa Murkowski is head of the Appropriations Committee for the Department of Interior in the U.S. Senate, that has meaning. So it could be that the Pebble Mine in Alaska is finally going to be put where it belongs, and that is out of business. The Obama administration and the Environmental Protection Agency under it issued an edict that said the Pebble Mine cannot be built because of the potential harm it causes to fish and wildlife and water quality issues in an area of the world where there's great seismic activity. Earthquakes are common, and how can you build retention ponds to hold back millions of gallons, I guess, of poisonous water in a place where there's highly likely to be an earthquake? This has now been under review. The EPA has indicated it's opening up the process again. The Department of Interior has been pushing hard to open up the process for the mine to be re-explored. And now Lisa Murkowski, who has the most powerful voice on this in Alaska, really says, no, you know, I think this is not something we should do, and the EPA standing should not be reversed. That's big news for the interests who love Alaska, fish in Alaska, of which I'm one, and also realize that it is truly, Bristol Bay is truly the last great estuary in the world. We have phenomenal runs, I mean, runs of millions and millions and millions of salmon. And it shouldn't be risked for one mine. Just look at what happened in the Columbia River and the Columbia Basin and how Chinook salmon and salmon, sockeye salmon, are almost endangered species. Why risk that in Alaska for one mine? Common sense, it looks like, is coming to bear, and I think we're going to have a chance of stopping this. And I don't say that from an environmental perspective. I say that from the perspective of we only have one Earth here, and there are certain places where we just shouldn't do things of high risk. And the Pebble Mine in Alaska is certainly one of them. So that's the news from Alaska. I'll be back with more news from the rest of the conservation world next Sunday morning. Hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.